Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prachaline Nirvishesha Sunyavani Askatyane Satarine Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Nivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 maybe 7 years ago when I had an experience in my Krishna consciousness which was very profound because it touched me very deeply and answered some important questions, and I would like to share this with you in a mood of sharing one's personal treasures with near and dear ones. I had gone, it was actually 89, I still remember the date, which is rare for me. I had gone to the hospital in Waldkirchen for a surgery, minor surgery, it was hernia, and I experienced in the hospital Krishna. This is how it happened. They had a new person on the anesthesia, a doctor from Lund in Sweden. I think Mandaleshwari knows Lund. Yeah? Manjari Lund? Yes. So, I remember still when I was rolled into the operation theater that a doctor has said, "You will not feel anything." And I felt so much. Then I was, you know, they put these injections in the arms, and I was put with what was brought in connection with artificial nourishment, and was a pipe in the veins. And then the surgery started, and believe it or not, in the midst of the surgery, I became aware that they were cutting into the flesh of my belly. First it was only a little thing, like a little rash, you know, like when a cat scratches your skin. But then I became increasingly aware, and I was waking up from the narcosis and could feel the pain of torture. For the first time I knew what was done in medieval times to non-believers. And it became more painful and more painful, because I woke up. At one stage I heard the doctor say to his colleague, "You know, this one hit in golf playing is very simple. You just take you know, and I'm going, "Ah!" You just take your hands and you just make gong." And he did it. And when he did it, he cut into a vein in my belly, my open belly, and blood came out. And he said, "Oh no, that's not how you do it." And then they were busy in repairing the vein which was cut. But I was by that time so super horrified that the pain had become so intense that I disconnected from the body. I can only describe it as if I was floating above the body and looking down. Then I wished, "I don't want to see this any longer. Let me go somewhere else." And as I was wishing it, just by my wish alone, I went through the wall, because I was in my subtle body, and the wall did not, you know, when you are a ghost, you can walk through walls. So I went through the wall, and then I somehow decided, let me see if the devotee whom I asked to pray for me in the waiting salon is still awake, or if he is asleep, like most Hare Krishnas are when they are alone in a room. So I just unwilling, went again through all these walls and the corridor, and I came into the waiting room, and Agnidev, that was the name of it, this wonderful devotee, was intensely praying for me. I could see this. Then I began to think, my God, this could be the last time in this body. You really have to become serious now, Sachinan. Let's go to the body. And I was again with the body, and I saw how they were trying to repair. They were still repairing the vein which was hit by this unconcentrated surgeon who was thinking of golf play. And then I began to pray intensely, "Oh Krishna, please protect me. Oh Krishna, please be kind upon me. Oh Krishna, please see what I wanted to do in this life. Please accept my services, which I have tried to render you as good as I can." And at that time, when I was praying so intensely for Krishna, for his protection, I first saw the Lord, and I saw him, you know, like he's on a painting. I don't see this painting here. It was a painting which I love very much. And I heard a voice which saying, please, there is no need to panic. You have still something important to do. You will return to life again. You know, you will return to your service again. At that time, I became convinced that Krishna protects his devotees when the devotee prays for his protection. I became personally very convinced of this. I remember I woke up from this experience, which had happened first in a half narcotic state, but then I was fully necrotized, you know, it worked, in other words, after some time. I remember I woke up and the Swedish doctor from Lund, who was a newcomer, a beginner, a neophyte, he said, see, I told you, you would not notice anything. I only smiled a tired smile. Krishna protects his devotees, and in order to do this, he appears in many ways. He appears in his avatars, like Matsya and Kurma, Lord Nrisimha, and also Buddha. He appears again and again and comes there to protect his devotees and to destroy the demoniac elements. That is what Krishna constantly does. He appears in the life of his devotee. The famous emperor Akbar had one Hindu minister called Birbal, and one day, you know, they used to discuss religious matters. Akbar said to Birbal, what kind of god do you Hindus worship? A god who comes personally to save his servitors, his devotees. See, I'm the emperor, a king of this world. When there is trouble in my kingdom, I don't come personally there. I send someone. So God should be much, much more dignified and superior to me, who is just a normal human being. He should not have to come personally. He can send someone, no? So Birbal, very intelligent minister, said, Akbarji, my dear king, I will not answer this question right now, but after a few days I will answer it. So Akbar forgot about the question. Then one day Birbal came and said, Majesty, let's go boating. It's a good day. Invite all your relatives. I have arranged a big boat and we will go boating on the Yamuna. So Akbar liked the idea. It was a beautiful day and came with all his people and relatives to the boat, and the boat went out onto the Yamuna. In the boat was also the young son of Akbar. When they were in the midst of the river, where the water was deepest, Birbal took the son of Akbar and threw him into the water. Akbar was shocked. My son is drowning. And he jumped with his full cloth after his son into the Yamuna and swam to him. Now when he reached the son, he was surprised to see that this was only a doll. Doll? Puppet? He took the puppet, he swam back to the boat and said, Birbal, what is this? I thought you would throw my son into the water and drown him, but you just took a doll. I said, Birbal, I have another more important question. Why did you personally go to save what you thought was your son? Why did you not send someone? Just anyone. When you saw that your son was drowning, when you thought he was in life danger, you didn't think of anyone else. You personally went. And this is how my Lord is. When he sees that any one of his devotees is in danger, he doesn't send anyone. He comes personally. Do you understand?
Yes.
Good. Krishna personally promises this in the Bhagavad Gita, that he protects his devotees at all times. Now, I feel this is a very important understanding for us as we go through life, as we experience things in life where we either come in gross danger, that means when we are in an accident, or when our women, when they give birth to children, and they come to this critical moment where they almost want to give up because it is so intense. Krishna protects his devotees from physical danger, but he also protects them from inner danger, challenges in their spiritual life, if and only if the devotees learn to turn to him. I would like today narrate from the Bhagavatam a wonderful pastime where Lord Krishna proves how he, or that he, protects his devotee, and then I will say something about the upcoming festival. There's a beautiful shloka which was Anandashesha, can you please pull water in here? Which was prayed to by Draupadi when Krishna appeared in her moment of fear. You all know Draupadi was attacked, one woman against strong warriors, and one of these warriors, Dushasan, wanted to disrobe her. Finally, Krishna appeared to save her. And then Draupadi prayed this wonderful prayer. Lord Krishna, she said, who's like a sun rising in the darkness. Like a boat to the drowning. Krishna, who is like a sweet rain cloud to those dying of thirst, and like fabulous wealth to the poverty stricken. Krishna, who is like an infallible doctor to those who suffer from the most painful disease. This Krishna has come to grant auspiciousness to me. My dear devotees, when will we be able to say with tears of love in our eyes, O Krishna, you who are known for saving the fallen souls, have come to me personally in my life of Krishna consciousness, and you have come to take me to your lotus feet. You have come to save me from a situation which I thought was unbearable. You have come when I saw no solution. When will we be able to say this? I think we will be able to say this after this, listening to this pastime, which I want to tell you now. My dear devotees, in the months of Kartik, it gets very cold in Vrindavan. especially in the nights, it's good if you are under a warm blanket. So there was this one Ekadasi, it's called Shukla Ekadasi, in towards the end of Kartik, when Nanda Baba, the father of Krishna, decided, no, he always did it, when he observed Ekadasi. You know, Ekadasi, which we also practice today, is observed by fasting, or at least you have to fast from grains, and you have to remember Lord Hari again and again and again, and pray to him. This is how you observe Ekadasi. Now, the Ekadasi ends at a specific time, and if you want to do it properly, observe Ekadasi properly, you must end your Ekadasi vows at a certain time, and then, you know, we do this by breaking the fast before 9:45 or whatever it is. There's always, for each Ekadasi, a special date. So this Ekadasi, the Ekadasi ended at 12 at midnight, and Dvadasi, the next day before Ekadasi had to be broken, started at 1:45 in the morning, early. So Nanda Maharaj finished Ekadasi at 12 o'clock, and then there was only 45 more minutes to end the Ekadasi with the bath. So Nanda Maharaj, in a great hurry, surrounded by other pious Brijvasis and his servants and guards, went through the night, was 12:15 or so, and went to the Yamuna and fearlessly entered the river Yamuna. While Nanda Maharaj entered the river Yamuna, he chanted, Narayan, 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 Narayan. Because Nanda Maharaj worshipped the Lord of Vaikuntha, he had worshipped Narayan so that in his old age he would get a son. And when he got Krishna as a son, he became so grateful to Narayan that he spent every day in the morning time in his temple chanting the names of Narayan. Nanda Baba was so happy that Narayan had given him, although he was 60 years old, that is little old, such a wonderful child as Krishna, that he was very pleased to worship Narayan. And as Nanda Baba chanted the names of Narayan, he fell into a deep trance, a trance of ecstatic Narayan consciousness. Now, you must know something else. It is in the beginning, I need to inform you a little bit. In spiritual India, you never take a bath in the night in a lake or in a river. Can any one of you imagine why this is not done? Mandaleshwari? It is understood that the rivers and the ponds and the lakes are part of a living organism. And just like you don't wake up a living person at night, you're not impolite, you should not wake up a river or a lake in the night. This is ecological consciousness. I mean, I think the ecological movement would be charmed to hear this. I remember when I spent one Kartik at the banks of Radhakund, there was an ISKCON group of nice devotees who had got lost on Govardhan Parikrama, I mean, lost in the ecstasy of walking around Giriraj. They had listened to so many pastimes that it became 11 o'clock when they reached Radhakund, and they all, this was 1,000 pilgrims, went into Radhakund at around 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. The next morning, a delegation from the devotees of who live in Radhakund, Pandas and some Vaishnavas, came to where I lived and complained severely. How can you enter at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock Radhakund? Radhakund is identical with Srimati Radharani. How can you be so respectless as to wake her up when she is sleeping or is with Krishna? No? So I told this to the leading devotee, and he was very pleased to hear, and has since that time never, he has always taken care that the bath is taken by the devotees before sunset. So one servant of Varuna, the lord of the water, who did not know about this Ekadasi constellation, that you had to break your Ekadasi before 2 o'clock at night, came by and saw Nanda Maharaj bathing in the Yamuna, and the servant became red with anger, seized or catched Nanda Maharaj and pulled him underwater, and then brought him to Varuna, the lord of all the water. When Varuna saw how his servant brought Nanda Maharaj, he was shocked. Nanda Maharaj did not notice anything because he was so ecstatic by chanting the name of
Narayana,
Narayana, Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. You do it very nice. That he was still in Samadhi. When Varuna saw how his servant brought this, the father of Krishna, who was in ecstasy in his samadhi, he was dressed in white cloth, which is good when you do a vrata. He had tulsi mala around his neck, but he was deeply in samadhi. So Varuna was shocked. He knew Krishna, the protector of his devotees, will soon come, and because I am indirectly responsible for this, it was my servant who kidnapped Nanda Baba, Krishna will really give me a heavy time. So Varuna went with all his ministers to the edge of his kingdom, trembling and waiting for Krishna to come. When the friends of Nanda Baba, who were in the Yamuna, all of a sudden saw Nanda Maharaj disappearing in the water, they panicked. Nanda Maharaj was a good swimmer. It was not that he could have just gone. There must have been a supernatural cause for his disappearance. They screamed his name. Then they went back to the bank of the Yamuna. They saw the bucket of Nanda Maharaj and the water which he had taken for hygienic purposes. They saw this, but there was no Nanda Maharaj. They again jumped into the river to see what had happened with Nanda Maharaj. And when they couldn't find them, they shouted, Krishna, Krishna!
Krishna, Krishna!
Mahabaho! Bhaktanam! Avayankara!
Avayankara!
O strong-armed Krishna! You are the friend of your devotees. Please destroy this fear which has overcome us. So at that time, Krishna was sleeping. It was after all 1 o'clock in the morning. It was really early. He slept on a bed of flowers. Krishna always prefers to sleep on a bed of flowers. You know, they put these nice flowers there and then they spread it with a very thin cloth in Vrindavan, which is very soft to the body, and Krishna then sleeps there in all this beautiful fragrance of the nice special flowers. There was a warm blanket over it. So the devotees who called for him were at the banks of the Yamuna when they shouted his name. But Sugadev Goswami says, Upashrutya, Krishna heard it as if the devotees were very close, or as if he was very close to the devotees. This word Upashrutya is important for us also in the world. When we call out for Krishna, we should know he's always very close, because he's all pervading, he's present everywhere, and he's never ever far away from you. He's as far as a prayer. When a prayer is far away from your mind, Krishna is very far. When a prayer is very close to your mind, Krishna is automatically very close to you. So, Upashrutya, Krishna heard it as if the people, the Brajbasis, were just calling it in his ear. And listen, what was his reaction? He didn't think, oh, leave me alone, I like to sleep now. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. He immediately threw away his blanket, although it was very cold, Kartik, and he ran towards the Yamuna and immediately jumped into the ice-cold water of the Yamuna. Krishna, you must know this, is never lazy when it comes to saving his devotee. There's a verse like this. O Krishna, the verse says, when your devotee calls for you, you get up from whatever it is that you are doing, and in great haste, move to the side of your devotee. You do not even wait to put your jewel sandals on. When Vishvakshena, the general of your mighty army, says, Lord, is there any trouble? Should I help? You have not even time to answer him. Even when Garuda comes and says, I'm here for you to bring you wherever you are so much in a hurry to save your devotee that you don't even have time to climb on Garuda's back. Krishna, will you not make haste to save me? Prayer by a devotee. So, when Krishna had heard the helpless calls of his devotees for him, he had in great haste jumped up from his bed, thrown away the warm quilt, that's a blanket, and ran to the Yamuna, and he jumped into the Yamuna. He dove right to the bottom of the Yamuna, where there was a hole, and he went through this hole to the planet of Varuna, which is in a different dimension. I've written down something which I want to find for you. But I want to say something else. Sometimes devotees ask the question, when I call for Krishna, will Krishna personally hear me? Devotees feel, when they ask this question, that I'm so insignificant and fallen and often so absent-minded that I can't believe that Krishna will personally care for me. There is one psychological problem which we all suffer in a bigger or in a lower degree, and that is that we feel really abandoned by God. Abandoned means we feel God has given us up, almost like a mother or a father who have a child. They are so poor they can't take care of the child, and then they may bring him somewhere, maybe before the steps of an ashram in India, and put him down, and in this way abandon the child. So we secretly feel, because we are not worthy, we feel unworthy, we feel that Krishna has given us up. And then when we hear a lecture where we say Krishna hears when a devotee calls for him, we feel a doubt in our heart and think, this is not possible. At least it's not possible that Krishna hears me personally when I personally call for Krishna. I don't know, I've spoken with many devotees and they have secretly confessed this, that they can't believe that there is a personal relationship between them and God. I have seen this especially in the Hare Krishna movement, the movement for Krishna consciousness, that devotees think Krishna can't be conscious of them and they can't be conscious of Krishna. Because of this psychological feeling of being left alone, being given into the world, and now being handed over almost into the ways of the world. And you know, like someone gives his child away, and then the people who take the child, they do with the child what they think needs to be done with the child. So we think also Krishna has given us to the world, and the world now is acting on us. We are totally worldly and disconnected. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur corrects this mistaken perspective. He says, when a devotee calls for Krishna, it is not the super soul, Paramatma, who is Krishna's form in this world, who answers. It is Krishna personally who comes to the help of his devotee. Krishna comes in his form, in the form in which the devotee worships him. In our case, we worship Krishna as the bluish, playful lord of Vrindavan, who loves, who is only engaged in loving his devotees and receiving the love of his devotee. So Krishna hears that personal call from his devotees, and he comes. So what he does is very nice. He jumped into the waters of the Yamuna and he disappeared. Then the Brijbasis saw Krishna running with his dhoti and going under the Yamuna. They thought, my God, we have lost Nanda Maharaj to the nether birds. Now Krishna has disappeared. Krishna has departed for the other world, they said. Mother Yashoda arrived at the bank of the Yamuna and asked Balaram, Balaram, where is your younger brother? Balaram tried to pacify Yashoda and said, oh mother, don't be aggrieved. He will now just quickly go and bring Nanda back and make everyone happy. This is what Balaram said. But Mother Yashoda, when she heard Krishna has just now gone, this word gone, Krishna gone, was so much that she just fell over, and four women had to carry her because she was Krishna's mother. Srimati Radhika also arrived at the bank of the Yamuna. I don't know, have you ever lost someone in a river? I have once been, when I was a child in Venice with my friend, and we walked where the channel was, the black channels of Venice, and my friend, we were joyful, and we were as little boy running, laughing and doing pranks. My friend came too close to the channel, and he fell into the channel, and he disappeared in the dark waters of Venice. I still remember, I screamed. Some Italian man saw what had happened and jumped after my little friend. That I wanted to also jump, but someone caught me because I was just so small still, you know, and I was fighting with him. Let me go, my friend. Five people were diving for him. It was a tragedy in Venice, you know. And such nice little German boys with rosy cheeks and so on. And one friend had fallen. They were all crying. Italians have a heart, you know. La tragedia. Yes. I still remember. So all the bridge Parsis were like this on the banks of the black Yamunaji, crying, Krishna has lost, we have lost Krishna. Radharani came, and when she heard that her Prana Vallabha, Lord Krishna, had jumped into the Yamuna, she thought, this is the end of our bliss. This is the end of our love. This is the end of our loving relationship. And she became so depressed that she lay down on a bed of flowers. Her friends were there and trying to fan her, to bring her back to life. But Radharani was totally suffering. Only at the very end her friend came and saved her. This friend is called Murcha, unconsciousness. And unconsciousness embraced Radha, and she went into the swoon. I would like to for you to now sing a little for Krishna, and that he will come back. At that time, one devotee said, in a world full of changes, pure love is the only constant. In a world where everything changes around, values go up and down, our lives change, our friends change, our money changes, our apartment changes, our cloth changes, our body changes. In a world of constant change, love is the only constant. Love for Krishna, that remains the same. So let us sing a little. Hare Krishna. This is now not a pause. It is part of the discussion, to think of Krishna now. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. when Krishna dove into the Yamuna water, he went straight to Varuna's abode, and he had only one question: where is that Varuna? Something happened to Krishna as he was going into the water. He became so absorbed and in a way so angry that that Jiva Goswami describes when a lion attacks, his body expands. So when Krishna went for Varuna's abode, his body also expanded, and he put even the lion to shame. Gopal Champu describes, though Krishna's body was black, it started to glow red out of anger. Boom. Must have looked beautiful. It was very difficult to look in Krishna's eyes, although his eyes are so lovely that they destroy all darkness. No one could tolerate to look into his eyes. Naturally, Krishna is very soft, but out of anger that someone has kidnapped my devotee, he became hard like a thunderbolt, and his voice was rumbling with thunder, like the sound of the clouds at the time of final destruction. This astonished everyone who saw him as he was on his way to Varuna Loka. When he finally arrived in Varuna Loka, Varuna, the lord of all the waters, was trembling. Krishna looked at him and asked, "Where is my worshipable father? Bring me immediately to him." So Varuna immediately folded his hand and he said, "My lord, come with me on this path." Varuna had made a path to where Nanda Maharaj was, which he had laid out with the finest of white cloth. It was very good silk, like you would never wear, because you would feel this is too costly for me. So Krishna was walking like a lion, and when he saw Nanda Maharaj, something wonderful happened. Nanda Maharaj was at that time still in Samadhi. He was lying on a bed which Varuna had arranged for him. He was simply meditating about Krishna. All of a sudden, the fragrance from Lord Krishna's body entered into his nostrils and woke him up from the trance of his meditation. Who knows how Krishna smells? This may be a very private question, but Krishna has a very distinct, particular fragrance. Would you like to know, or is this a little bit too intimate for you? We all have our own fragrance. Tridasharam has his, and Akrura has his. What is Krishna's fragrance? He smells like four things. The blue lotus flower, it is a very subtle fragrance. Mixed in this fragrance is the smell of musk. Mixed in the musk is the fragrance of sandalwood. And then there is something, it's like a herbal thing, aguru. I don't know how this smells, but it must be good. So the smell of lotus flowers, musk, sandalwood, and agura, aguru. That's the sum total of Krishna's fragrance. And this fragrance, you know, when you see Krishna for the first time, it is described, you will most probably be so overwhelmed that you faint on the ground. But then Krishna's fragrance will enter your nostril and wake you up again so that you can see him. So this fragrance of Krishna entered into Nanda Baba's trunks and awoke him from his meditation, from his samadhi. And when he saw Krishna, the object of all his love, standing before him, you know, Krishna always smiles, he has always his lotus flowers, and his hair is like a swarm of bees, but his eyes are always wandering back and forth, he is always very playful in his gestures, you know. So when Nanda Maharaj saw his little boy Krishna standing before him, he started to cry, and he thought, because he couldn't see Krishna very nicely, is this still my meditation, or do I see Krishna? Then he heard, then he saw how Krishna bowed down to him, you know, it is, how do you say, durch sein Tränenschleier, sagt man in Deutsch, no, this is, doesn't say anything, through the veil of his tears, he saw his son bowing down, and Krishna came up and very softly said, Father, I have come. How nice, huh? Father, I have come. Nanda looked around and said, Son, where are we? It was very personal. Krishna said, we are somewhere. We will take the same route and go back to Vrindavan in only a short time. So when Varuna saw that father and son were united, he was happy. He also understood that Krishna was in his heart pleased with him. Because Krishna always wants to enact pastimes so that his devotees know he is there to protect them. He wants to show that. He wants to give a proof that he is committed to this relationship with his devotees. Even if the devotees sometimes may be in good relationship and then stop their relationship, Krishna wants that we have our relationship to Krishna. So Varuna, you must know, was now ready to give a big reception to Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. Varuna is the lord of all opulence. He is the lord of the water and the oceans, and in the oceans there are pearls, there are rubies, there are diamonds and different ratnas or jewels, and he owns them all. He's the most wealthy person. Bill Gates, or who is rich, Govinda Nandan, they are nothing in comparison. You cannot find any rich person in this world. So Varuna, when he saw Krishna in his court, he said something very nice. He said, Adya me nibrito deho dvayato digita prabhu tvatpara bhajo bhagavan avapu param advana. Varuna said, now Krishna, where you have come and given me your darshan, my body has fulfilled its function. Indeed, now the goal of my life is achieved. O Lord, now he gives the reason. He says, I have wander through 8,400,000 lifetimes and forms of life. Everywhere I only was born and I died. But now I have achieved your lotus feet. Those who accept your lotus feet or personality of Godhead can transcend the path of material existence. That means just by seeing Krishna, you can stop the repetition of birth and death. In London, there are many very wealthy persons, fabulously wealthy people who give sometimes donations to our temples. We build now in London another temple for 10 million euros, no problem for these rich men. You may not even have 10 euros, but they don't even notice when they give 10 million somewhere. I mean, you have 10 euros, but let us say you may not have 10,000 euros. They have 10 million. But all this wealth in the world cannot buy you the liberation from the cycle of birth and death. But only thinking about Krishna's lotus feet, which we as devotees sometimes do when we have darshan of Krishna or when we pray to Krishna, only thinking of Krishna's lotus feet can end the cycle of birth and death forever. This is the potency of Krishna's opulences, of Krishna's lotus feet. That is how powerful the Lord is. So therefore, Varunaji says, my life is now successful where you have come. And he chants a shloka, which I want you to repeat. Namastubhyam Bhagavate.
Namastubhyam Bhagavate.
Brahmane Paramatmane. Nayatra Shuyate Maya. Loka Shrishti Vikalpana. My obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Soul. My obeisances unto you.
My obeisances unto you.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead.
O Supreme Soul.
O Supreme Soul.
Within you.
Within you.
There is not even a grain of Maya.
There is not even a grain of Maya.
You orchestrate the creation of this world.
You orchestrate the creation of this world.
Yes, and then. Then Varuna, he says, your father is just here. Please, you take him. It was only out of your kindness that somehow you arranged that my foolish servant, who's almost like a demon, kidnapped your father and brought him here so that we could receive you. Please, now, forgive us. In this last sentence, please forgive us, is a very important spiritual truth. When you do an offense, there are only two ways how you can be relieved from the effects of the offense. One is if you are punished severely, then you get equal with the person whom you have offended. The second way is when the person whom you have offended forgives you. Only in these two ways can you become free from the effects of offense. May I ask you a question? Do you sometimes make an offense? It happens in life. You must go to the party whom you have offended to ask his forgiveness. Otherwise, the karma of having hurt someone stays with you for a life and beyond. You must tell him, either forgive me or punish me. forgiving is more on the sweet side. But even if there's no forgiveness, you must accept correction, you know, because then you can be relieved from the offense. Otherwise it stays. When a snake has bitten you and you continue to run, the poison will stay in your body and one day kill you. So when you have committed an offense and you continue without asking for forgiveness, the after effect of the offense will one day have severe reactions on your life. This is why Varuna says, please forgive me. He says, in effect he says, we are bad people, we always make mistakes. So our habit is to offend, but you are a great person and your habit is to forgive. Please, I'm a person to be forgiven. Yes. He says, please give your mercy even to me. Mamapya anugraham. Krishna, you are compassionate. You can either punish me or show me mercy, but do not let my offense remain. There is a great poem who has once sung, the beauty of great people is to forgive, whereas the nature of small people is to make trouble. Hare Krishna. I can relate to this very well. I'm a small man, I make trouble. Varuna here says, your nature is not to react to our mistake. For us, however, it is totally normal to make such things. So, I would like to come to the end of this. Varuna at the end just cries to Krishna. He says, my dear Krishna, you are so merciful. Please take whatever jewels you want from this place. Consider everything here my property. And Krishna smiles at him and says, Varuna, do you know that you are my devotee? And I'm always with you. So you don't need to give me something. What you have is already mine. And this is the greatest pleasure for Varuna. He hears, although he has made a mistake, he feels like this because his servant, ignorant servant, kidnapped Nandababa. Krishna accepts him and says, this is all mine, you are mine. Don't, no need to give me something, it's already mine. He says, oh Krishna, wonderful. When Krishna saw Varuna with his folded hands standing before him, he said, O Lord of the waters, I am pleased with your motives and the statements of your love for me. Keep whatever wealth you have. I may be residing in a distant place, but because you are my devotee, this place is also my house. In this way, Krishna spoke with his sweet words to give pleasure to the heart of Varuna. So they made a big aarti for Krishna with a lamp made from jewels. They gave him the most amazing flowers. And then Krishna said to Nanda, let us go now, Father. And although Krishna didn't take any jewels, Nanda Maharaj took a lot of jewels with him as presents for his friends, the Brijbasis. And Varuna and all his men walked with Nanda Baba to the end of their kingdom. And then Nanda dove into the water, and all of a sudden, but then they looked back and they saw Varuna and all his servants were dancing in happiness. They were just jumping up and down. Krishna has come. Nanda Baba thought, but Krishna is my son. In this palace made of jewels, Varuna, the mighty owner of all wealth, has worshipped my daughter. My daughter. My little boy. Already Indra with his 1,000 eyes came recently and bowed down to him. Now Varuna, what else will Krishna do next time? He doesn't know his limits. So Nanda was full of fatherly emotions and was really very much thinking about everything. And then all of a sudden the Krishna put him into the water and they dove through the tunnel and Nanda Maharaj came out of the water. All the relatives, it was at that time, it was still like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, it was before sunrise. The residents of Vrindavan were staying at the banks of the Yamuna. All of a sudden they see Nanda Maharaj coming out of the water, and a little later Krishna smiling. And they, Nanda Maharaj and Krishna, walk on the banks, and Krishna doesn't even have one drop of water on his dhoti. Not one tiny drop. Philip, this is miraculous. The British Parsis are so overwhelmed that they all faint. And no one can receive Krishna and Nanda Baba. But they're just so happy because they think Krishna has gone to the underworld, the netherworld, where no one returns. And only Balaram is clever enough. He puts white cloth out and he sits Nanda and Krishna on the white cloth. And a little later, all the Brijbasis come back to life. Jiva Goswami says, the people were chattering excitedly. The cows were making moo moo with bliss. Flowers were thrown by the demigods from heaven. And everyone came back to life just by seeing Krishna. There was joyous music, dancing, and the recitation of verses by the brahmanas who competed with each other. In this way, Nanda Maharaj was narrating everything which happened. Krishna was talking also. They explained to the Brijbasis what had happened. There was great excitement and joy. And finally, Nanda asked the brahmanas, have I done everything right here with the Ekadasi and all? And they were completing the Ekadasi Vrata. And then Nanda walked back to Vrindavan, Krishna next to him, Balaram on the other side, and he looked as effulgent as the sun, in accompaniment of 2 beautiful stars. So Hare Krishna, I have told it a little bit fast because we have a lot on our program for the next 3 days, but I wanted to impress upon you that Krishna protects his devotees. And one way in which he protects his devotees is by enacting beautiful pastimes in which the devotees can absorb their mind. I know we are fresh from the material world and we sometimes have difficulty to listen with full concentration to Krishna's pastimes. If someone would describe to us in detail, let us say, something which happened at an ultimate fight, we would be all ears and we would follow every detail. But when it comes to Krishna, because he is so beyond our what we have heard and which we know, then we sometimes switch off. Do you know what is the remedy? Keep on listening. One day, Krishna will enter through your ears, your heart, and steal your heart if you are willing to listen to his wonderful pastimes and willing to listen to his word. It is very purifying to sit in the association of devotees and talk about Krishna. You cannot do this outside with non-devotees. Only with devotees, they relish to hear about Krishna, or they try to relish it when they are still very new and young in spiritual life. And in this way, come closer to Krishna. We want to hear so much about Krishna eventually that we forget the news of the world. The news of Krishna, his pastimes, his qualities, his characteristics are the important medicine for the soul who has forgotten Krishna or turned against Krishna long, long back. There's a verse. It says, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Kaviviritam Kalmashapanam Shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Muvigrinanti Ye Ye Buridajana. It says, those who talk to us about Krishna are the greatest welfare workers. They roam around in this world spreading the news of Krishna, which is Burida, which gives good fortune to the unfortunate people of this world. Hearing about Krishna is something which we want to practice more and more, so that more and more details can be explained to us and we can understand more and more about Krishna. In this way, become a little happy even while going through the things we have to go in this material world. I want to thank you very much. And I want to request you, let us end this katha with a very brief kirtan.
Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
presentation, it was my purpose to give you a little bit, based on the Bhagavatam, an impression that Krishna does protect his devotees if they call upon him. I think this understanding is very important, and it might decide in which way we turn in our spiritual life when we come to a situation which is unexpected and perplexes us. And at that time we can call for help. We can sincerely say, "My dear Lord Krishna, for so many long years I have forgotten you in this material world. But from today on, I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me in your service." "My dear devotees, I have detected a jewel. It was given by Adi Purusha Prabhu, our Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education trainer, and he had described what is pure bhakti. And this will now be interesting for those of you who like a little bit to use their intelligence in Krishna consciousness. He said, pure bhakti is when we do an activity for Krishna in a favorable mood, that means in a devotional mood. Please note, here the word pure is used in relationship to bhakti, not in relationship to the performer, the one who does the activity. This means you may not yet be fully pure, but if you manage to do one activity for Krishna, and you do it for Krishna in a devotional mood, that means anyavilashita shunyam jnana kamad janavritam, that means it must be free from your own desire to selfishly enjoy, and it must be also free from the desire to just leave it all and moksha. If you can do, even for a short time, an activity where you are not in the center and your desires and your fears or whatever you bring from your own little world are not in the center, but you put Krishna in the center and you feel in your heart, "I want to do this for him," then you do pure bhakti. This is pure bhakti. Once again, you are maybe not yet pure all the time, but for the time where you can do this activity, you perform pure, or let us use another word, unmixed bhakti, and this act will purify you. Could you understand this? I think it's an important understanding which for so long I did not have. I thought pure bhakti, even me? I'm not pure, therefore I cannot do pure bhakti. Have you, some of you also thought like this? No, yes, middle. Yes. Yes. This is, but this definition from Rupa Goswami is much more hope-giving, because it says to me that if I'm willing to do pure bhakti, like for instance here, when we sit and we hear about Krishna, it's called Shravana, and we do this for Krishna's pleasure, in a mood that how wonderful Krishna is, favorable mood, you do pure bhakti. Or if you chant the holy name, and for the time when you chant, you just, you are there, you know, and you chant for Krishna, then you do pure bhakti. And this will do tremendously to you, to uplift you. And one day you might become a pure bhakta, huh? By this. So therefore, I have personally become dedicated to these amongst devotees to try to open the talk on Krishna, which in itself is a pious activity, of activity which has Sukriti, benefit. When you do this and you hear this, it's good spiritually for you. And also, I think that kirtan as a yoga dharma needs to be spread and so on. And by injecting these pure things into our lives, the life can become fortunate. And you can also transcend the world of Maya, like Varuna said about Krishna. You are always beyond the modes of nature, and someone who meditates about your lotus feet similarly transcends. Varuna said this.